And now I ask our brother Brian to come and speak to us. Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day.
Dear brother Phil and my beloved brethren and sisters and young people, we're really living in some remarkable times. At the present time, my dear brothers and sisters, and several things that have happened just in very recent times are incredibly significant and interesting to us. For example, did you see the headline this morning in the Advertiser? It had the Lithuanians pleading to the world for help, and the plea falling upon deaf ears. One would have thought that here was an opportunity to give support to a people that, in a different atmosphere, and with the Soviet Union endeavouring to appear as democratic, that here was every good reason for a world that believes in democracy to say to the Lithuanians, we are with you, 100%. But it hasn't happened. In fact, I don't know that there's a country that has recognised as yet the independence of Lithuania. If ever there was a classic opportunity for somebody to stand up and to show themselves as strong on the behalf of what they claim is the religion of their politics, then surely it ought to be now. Why is that? Why haven't they? It's of course because Mr. Gorbachev is a very popular figure, and the world thinks that it needs Mr. Gorbachev at the moment. And they fear that if the Soviet Union begins to break up, then who will create the stability of the world that's necessary? So Lithuania, in drastic need, under the oppressive foot of the Russians all these 40-odd years, you can cry in vain in your hour of need, but it so suits us at the moment to not hear your cry. You know, the world will pay for things like that, won't it? And it's evidence again to us, my dear brothers and sisters, that our concept of the Soviet Union and of the Gog that Ezekiel describes is correct, never mind how it might presently seem. Mr. Gorbachev has been seen as a very smiling, friendly, democratic, reasonable, emancipating man. But underneath, we must remember that he was brought up in the Stalin era, that his protege was none other than Mr. Andropov, who was considered to be a second only to Stalin in terms of cruelty and connivance in the Soviet Union. Mr. Andropov was that dark-glassed, rather tallish man who at 72 or 74 took over the reins of government from the time of Brezhnev. He only lasted, you might remember, for a year, for he was found to be ill and he died, and Mr. Shenenko took over. But he was a very cunning, conniving and desperate man. And it was under him that Mr. Gorbachev obtained his great elevation to the top ranks of the Soviet Union. So that's his mentor. Don't expect from Mr. Gorbachev free ice creams. He's just not built that way. He may smile for the moment, but if you want to know what he's really made up of, look at what he's achieved in such a time. He's a very strong, resourceful, determined man. And now, having just got the presidency, only what, a fortnight or 2.5 weeks ago, he now has turned his back on Lithuania, as he said shortly after, what you've done is illegal, don't even talk to me about it. And he won't talk to them. Instead of talking, he sent tanks, and they today have taken over the principal buildings in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. That's a very interesting sign to us that Russia still has her innate strength, as we might expect. Last week, Time magazine had an article, its leading article, which was upon Berlin. I suppose we've all got some concept of where Berlin stands in the Germany of today. If this is West Germany, and hugging up fairly close to it is East Germany, Berlin is a city about here, and it's joined, or it has an opening, to West Germany by that corridor.
which is nothing more than a highway, an autobahn, as they call them in Germany. But when the Russians and the Allies were determining the status of Berlin, neither was prepared to give up the city to the other. And so, as the country had been divided in two, so they divided the city into two. And it ended up something like that. So this then became known as East Berlin, and that as West Berlin. East Berlin in East Germany, and the capital of East Germany, and West Berlin also in East Germany, but really a part of West Germany. And when that happened, it probably was foreseen that what that would cause is a continual agitation. You had a divided city with part of its inhabitants having allegiance to this part of the country. It was a perfect memento, if you might say, that might have future political implications to drawing those two countries together. Now, of course, that's what's happening. These want it and these want it. So never mind what the rest of the world might think, they're undoubtedly going to take down the border and it will develop into one nation. Now, what would be the capital of a united Germany? Without question, everybody says Berlin will be the capital. You know, the capital of West Germany today is a city called Bonn, isn't it? I can't just think where Bonn is. It's about somewhere like that, isn't it? Somewhere like that in the country. Well, that's the city of Bonn. But it's not going to be so bonny in the future, because, in fact, it's obviously going to lose the capital to the greatest city of Berlin, which has 4 million inhabitants at this time. Bonn only has 300,000, but all the principal government buildings were all being built in Bonn. Now, of course, they won't be built there, and those that were scheduled have been stopped, and there is a real anticipation that Berlin will become the capital of Germany. Now, if that's the case, what's the effect of that? What that's done, if we can take down the middle wall of partition, we now have a large city and an historic city, and the centre of gravity, undoubtedly, of Europe. For everyone feels that Germany, with its great strength economically and its potential in every possible way, leadership and so on, everybody sees Germany as being the centre of Europe once more. So if that's the case, then Germany's capital becomes, as it were, the centre of Europe. Now, if that's the case, Berlin becomes the centre of Europe. And so the Time magazine ran an article which said that Germans increasingly sense that Berlin is becoming the centre of gravity of Europe. The centre of gravity of Europe.